Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Hey guys, Brian Haydad here on Thunder and Lightning. Of course, today is the first episode of our summer catfish tour. Before we get started on that, we want to thank our sponsors, though, over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird if Brupolo were in Zieglerville.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever it is that you need for your business, marketing services, wall graphics, packaging, promotional products, copying, office and lobby decor, manuals and catalogs, literally anything your business needs, Pip Printing and Signs can provide for you. And if you're a Mississippi State fan, they're going to provide a way for you to become a Bulldog Initiative business. It's just that simple. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. Tell me you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning, and that's all you've got to do. Everything else will be taken care of. And now, boom, you're a Bulldog Initiative business. 10% of your sale going directly to the Bulldog Initiative. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. We need to get a new era of Mississippi State off and running, and that's getting rid of the banner M and embracing the script state. So do it. The trip to College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. It's the best place in town. Restaurant Tyler. They've got the best meals. They've got the best places, the best desserts, the best appetizers, the best blue plate in town. I mean, it's just the best. So if you're going to be in Starville today and you need to eat, well, you can't go wrong with a trip to Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you where you need to be. Let them show you how they're going to work for your money. You already worked for your money. You got it to Priority One Bank. Let them take it from there and grow your money in a way that maybe you didn't think a small bank, small town bank like Priority One could do. Great service, but big financial services. That's what Priority One Bank provides. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right, let's get to the catfish tour. Me and Robbie Falk at Obie's here in Starkville. We are live at Obie's here for the Summer Catfish Tour, Superior Catfish, the first stop here in Starkville, Mississippi. And we are I made this joke on the podcast. I'm going to make it again, though. My actual dentist office is right across the street there. But Chris Jans is joining us here to start us off. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here with us, Coach. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I think my memory serves me correct. This is the first time I've done this with you guys.
Yeah.
So appreciate the offer and to hang out with you guys for a while.
One thing we've learned through the years of interviews, if you tell a coach, hey, there's free food, they'll likely show up.
More than often, yeah. And it's something, it's kind of like what we do with our players, you know, try to get them to come back at night for an evening film session and we tell them we have food and, you know, their interest peaks a little bit.
You've been a busy man this summer bringing in some new talent to Mississippi State. You know, I always go back to your first ever press conference when you were hired here at Mississippi State, and you talked about the transfer portal and how you knew that that was the way things were going to have to be. And then last year, you didn't really have to go that deep into it. You ran everybody back, and it was successful, got back to the NCAA tournament. But this year, a lot of new faces to build around that nucleus of Josh Hubbard and Cam Matthews.
Definitely different this cycle. Like you said, when we arrived, could see it coming. You know, I think I may have offended some people in the back at my press conference when I made the statement that, you know, we're going to be building teams, not program. And I tried to explain that it didn't mean we weren't going to have a culture about us and some standards, but the days of watching the kids grow in your program and staying 4 or 5 years and earning their time, we're kind of dead. And most programs weren't going to be built that way because of the ability to move around. And I felt very comfortable in that space and felt like we could handle the rule changes and so far so good. But like you mentioned, after that first year, we had so many guys back with the starters and role players. And then this year, We've got, you know, some good pieces back, but definitely had more spots to fill. And so we jumped in the portal headfirst about a day after our last game. And obviously our team's intact now and trying to get ready for next season.
From a philosophical standpoint, I don't think anything changes for you. You're still going to require guys to play hard-nosed defense, things like that. But when you kind of dig into this roster and you look at the pieces that you've added into it with the transfers that you picked up, was there more of an emphasis on getting an offensive player in the portal to go around, build around Josh Huppert a little bit this year?
Well, if you remember, I don't know if you guys were there or not, last summer when I had my press conference kind of about the same time I did this summer, just a couple weeks ago, I made a joke in the room, and I'm not a funny guy, obviously, and it didn't go over that well. Like, nobody laughed, and I was waiting all
spring. We just don't have a good sense of humor.
I was waiting all spring, man. I said, hey, we're going to shoot the ball better this year. You know, and they all kind of looked at me, you know, and I'm like, hey, guys, we were last in the country last year. So it wasn't like I was going out on a limb, you know. Now, today, I feel as if we're going to shoot the ball better next year. So that rise is something I'm sure the fans love hearing. I know I love walking in the gym, and we've been going for a week now, and we've kind of just put our toe in the shallow end, if you will, with what we're doing. But it's just nice to watch him work out individual and small groups, and the ball just goes in the hole more often than it did last year at this time. And we've got more people that you know, have nice strokes and shown some ability already before getting here that they can put the ball in the basket. And but we're going to have to play different. I mean, you know, we don't have as much size and as much athleticism maybe and ability around the basket that we've had since we've arrived. But the game's also trending, you know, away from that a little bit as well. And we'll have to have some adjustments for sure.
When you look at the pieces, too, that you've added, what do you like about the guys to go around Bub and what they bring to the table? And, you know, Power 5 guys, too. So yeah. They've done it in this league, or they've done it against teams like this. When you look at Clary and Caldwell Harris and R.J. Melendez, Riley Kugel, guys like that, I mean, what did you really like about that group and what they add to your team?
Again, going back to your first point, we felt like we needed to have more options to score the basketball, to be not just for themselves, but to create for others and just space the floor a little bit better. It's no secret that in the last 2 years, we've had some troubles at times of scoring the basketball. And we really had to manufacture it and score off our defense. Not that we want to do that going forward, but just take some pressure off, you know, our team and have more options. You know, Hub was relied on heavily last year. It wasn't necessarily the plan at this point going into the season, but it turned out that way. And, you know, he's probably the one smiling the most because they can't just focus on him. You know, if they do that, there's other capable people on the left and the right that hopefully will be able to get it on the floor on game night. But definitely had it was a concern, and it was what we wanted to do as a staff is just score better and have more options and have more competition, have more depth than we've had out front. And again, you know, in June when there's no adversity and there's no competition, and, you know, today will actually be our first practice, you know, in a couple hours will be the first time where, you know, I may bark at someone. You know, it's been kind of all fun and games so far. And, you know, what the new guys have heard maybe are like looking at me like, what are you talking about? This guy, you know, we just, hey, good job. Nice day. Good work today. You know, way to shoot the ball. But we haven't done anything competitive, no adversity, no resistance. Today will be the first time that we do that. And so we'll have a better idea as the summer unfolds.
Please don't bark at me or Robbie. We don't take criticism well.
We're scared. So.
Is there a player in the country that does more for his team overall than Cam Matthews?
I can't imagine there's a bunch of them. He's the ultimate stat stuffer. You know, he does it in his own way. You know, it's a little untraditional in terms of not being able to score the ball from the perimeter as well as he would like or we would like. But he's one of those guys that has found a way to be effective even though he does it in his own way. And when you play on the perimeter as much as he does and they don't guard you out there, that can mess you up mentally. And it can also screw up, you know, your effectiveness because of not understanding how to play against that slack. We call that, you know, distance between You know, if we're catfish place, right?
So right.
A fisherman's analogy here, that slack in your line, what we call that between the space between the defender and the offensive player, that slack. So he's learned to take that slack up and still get up in that defender's chin and be effective that way. And, you know, the obvious thing is everybody in the country, hey, Cam, work on your game. You know, be able to shoot the open shot and what that could do for you and for us. Certainly, you know, we're telling him the same. And it's a big offseason for him. I grabbed him on the first day, and we had a nice little conversation about it. But having said all that, like, you know, he's our heartbeat. You know, he's our behind-the-scenes, you know, temperament, if you will. And I want our team to embody, you know, his personality on the floor. And now if we can just get him to be a little more verbal, to be a little more consistent with his daily approach, to work on his individual game and not just rely on his raw athleticism and his toughness and his IQ. He's underrated that way. He's a really smart player. People don't give him enough credit for that. And, you know, there's a lot riding on it for him this year, for us and for him.
Cam Matthews is not verbal. I see him talking to some of the opposing players every now and then.
Yeah, he likes to talk to me, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes a little too much. But I love coaching him. I love his person. I love his growth that he's had. He's one of those guys, you know, when you get on the plane and, you know, you got the job and you're heading, you know, to Starkville and you open up the computer and you start looking at, you know, the team that you've inherited, the ones that are coming back. And, you know, in your mind, even though you don't know these kids, you're trying to see how well they would fit on what you value and how we're going to play. And he's the one that jumped off the page at me is like, man, he's going to do well the way we play and what we value. And fortunately for both of us, it's worked out that way.
When you talk about being on the plane and you're coming here and you're looking at this team for the first time, go back to whenever you're watching that film and what you know about Mississippi State then, and kind of fast forward to now. How far do you feel like this program has come, and do you feel like it's where you want it to be right now? Is there more things that you're wanting to implement, or do you feel like you're on track right now?
You know, I don't think about that very often, to be honest with you. I kind of try to take care of my business today and think about the future. I'll let, you know, you guys and then the fans argue if we're where we're supposed to be or how much progress we've made or not made. And, you know, I try to, you know, do my job, if you will, and think about, you know, how we can get better today and then certainly plan for tomorrow and down the road. And but we're happy that we've been able to have some level of success. And it feels good, you know, just being around Starkville and being around anywhere with Mississippi State on your lapel or your chest. And I get stopped more than I used to when I got here, and it seems people are excited about, you know, what we're doing and the direction that we're going. And I know our crowds have gotten better and more ruckus, and you know, there's more interest, I think, than there's been maybe for some time, and certainly excited about that. But we're nowhere near where we're trying to go and what we want to do, and we're certainly disappointed in our early exits. And you know, last spring we had a chance to play for a tournament championship and we didn't get it done in the final few minutes against Auburn, and that's still stuck in our craw. And so there's a lot more for us out there, and you know, that's the goal.
We kind of remiss not to ask you about Josh Hubbard. I would guess what's the ceiling for Josh Hubbard? How good can he be? Because he was pretty darn good last year.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a ceiling on him. Whatever I say or you say or the fans think, he'll have higher expectations than all of us. You know, I always tell people that the only people that weren't surprised by Josh's success were him and his family. Mm-hmm. Like, they believed in it, and he's worked the majority of his life to be in these moments, to be on this platform, and he's got such a quiet confidence about himself. And if you really watch him play, I think it's remarkable how he doesn't change. You don't know if he's having a great game or a below par game by his body language, by how he interacts with his teammates, how he interacts with me. He's so even keeled, and he's that way almost every single day. And he just understands mental approach. He understands the daily work that's required, and he's been preparing for this his whole life, and he's living it out in front of all of us. And You know, the things I'm going to ask him, and I told this to the big media group the other day, is that it's going to be more the intangible part now. Okay, he's got a year under his belt. He's going to be an untraditional leader for us in terms of age. He's only a sophomore, but I'm going to put a lot more on him because, one, he's got the game to back it up, and, two, he's got the personality and the respect already, and so he needs to be more verbal for us. He's got to get out of his comfort zone and help lead along with the coaches and Cam, this group, as we start, moving forward and trying to prepare for the season.
We're only a couple months away from kickoff, but I don't know that there's ever been as much excitement for college basketball in Starkville, at least not for a long, long time, than you've been able to bring here. Coach, glad you were able to join us today. Glad to see we're going to see you for a few more years. I know you got that new contract. You're picking up the tab, right?
I hear that often now.
Coach Chris Jans, Mississippi State Basketball. Thanks so much, Coach.
Appreciate you having me. Hail State.
We're about to talk to a man that I say it all the time, and I don't know that people appreciate him enough, is Charlie Winfield. This is the man that single-handedly.
I need you to talk to my wife if we're talking about appreciation deficits.
Is she here? I'll talk to her. Lovely woman. Single-handedly got Mississippi State going in the right direction from the NIL perspective. A man who just one day just said to himself, somebody's got to do something because a certain administrator certainly wasn't going to. He's not in here. And we took off from there, from the Bulldog Initiative, Charlie Winfield. This is, you know why I wanted to have you here? I just want to let you know that every now and then you get my 31 cents when I round up here.
Hey, and believe it or not, that roundup actually makes a really big difference for us. And, Air Spencer's, the guys here at Obie's, they were the first people to do that for us, and it makes a real difference.
I texted you one day. It was the day that J.J. Harrell and Stonka Burnside committed. I had eaten here. And I said, that my quarter is why they committed. Yes. I did it.
So there is always a tipping point.
Yeah. That was like, we've got it now.
You pushed us over the tipping point.
Every day, something new comes out about NIL. Every day, Congress is trying to get involved, and we all know how that's going to go. We learn something new every day about NIL, where it's going, where it's headed. You just seem to kind of stay the course. And you seem to go with whatever happens, I'll react to it when it happens. I'm not going to put myself too far out there. I want to play it safe. I think that's a smart strategy because when something changes every day, there's no staying ahead of it.
Well, I think the first thing that we tried to do was to be prudent and sensible. And you cannot check your common sense at the door. A lot of people who tried to play games with the Internal Revenue Service, for example, it's not something I care to do, right? And so you have to make some smart decisions. A lot of people tried to kind of create fake charities and do things like that. And ultimately, I think you have to wake up today trying
cheating
to
do... Cheating and recruiting?
Well, so shockingly.
I can't get over it.
Round up the usual
suspects. Wait till I tell Richard Cross about this. He won't know what
He'll
to do.
He'll be floored.
Yeah.
No, but so what we tried to do is look to be smart and understand that these things are going to change every day. And as they change, you just adjust and go with it.
One of the things that you've kind of altered and changed with is adding more staff. And I was at the library yesterday, and I kind of saw your staff in action with the student-athletes reading to the kids there, which is a really cool deal. But take me through the process of trying to build a staff to help you out, because it's like you've said before, I mean, this is a 24-hour-a-day, 365 kind of business for you on top of your full-time job. You needed some help, and you got it. I mean, kind of tell me a little bit about your staff and how that process transpired over the last couple of years?
Well, when we first started going, obviously the one thing that we really wanted to do was be fiscally responsible. We didn't want to be taking money and making bad use of it. And so we didn't want to lose money unnecessarily on overhead and things like that. And so for the better part of a year, it was my daughter and me, both working as volunteers. And after a period of time, you just start to understand we've got to touch more people. We have to have more support. And so we were able to bring on Emmy Perkins, who spent a year as Miss Mississippi just recently, and she's been outstanding. You talk about a heart for service, because one of the things you have to know is NIL is not just about grabbing money. If you try to do good things and you try to activate athletes to do good things, one of the things you mentioned that we were doing throughout the summer is you have football players going to the Starkville Public Library and reading. We had 70-something kids there yesterday in just the second week. And so every Wednesday, you've got four players going there. But in addition to that, on Thursday mornings during the school year, we have eight athletes in third-grade classrooms across the city of Starkville reading to kids, interacting with them, and you try to harness the power of an athlete and their, you know, their influence over kids. And Emmy has been absolutely outstanding in helping with that. And then, you know, you've got 200 athletes that you're dealing with, and Marcus Grant, who coached at Mississippi State, who played here, was a two-time team captain. And if it hadn't been for UCLA beating Missouri on the buzzer beater, probably would have been our first Final Four guy in 1995. Well, Marcus has just been absolutely outstanding working with us as well. So feel really good about where we are staff-wise now.
And another thing, you mentioned the library thing. One that I got the bracelet right here, the Champions for Literacy. Tell me about that cause that y'all joined with and what that's all about and how that transpired too.
Yeah, ultimately, our goal from the very beginning was to try to do good in this process. We use the hashtag sometimes NIL for good. And we met Coaching for Literacy. It's an established charity out of Memphis, Tennessee. They've been involved in college athletics for many, many years. Actually, we were the first NIL collective to reach an agreement with them and to begin working with them. In fact, we developed the idea together. Instead of trying to create a fake charity, what we did, in fact, was we partnered with an existing charity. And so what we do is we activate our athletes to support their calls, which is childhood literacy, particularly focusing on K through 3. And we have been able to generate a lot of resources and a lot of impact for young children in literacy, and they in turn have helped support our athletes in doing that. So Champions for Literacy has been an outstanding partner for us.
Yeah, and I think there were several yesterday that got new library cards. So, I mean, it's obviously doing its job, too, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing, and it's a real mission. You know, when five kids leave with a library card that didn't have one before, you know, it's a very positive first step, because what we know is one of the greatest predictors of success in life is your ability to read when you're in third grade. And so that's what we're really targeting, is that K through three. And look, I could go to the library tomorrow and set up shop and start reading, and there'd be a restraining order and a policeman asking me to leave, right? But when you get four football players in there and telling kids and reading their favorite books about athletics, that helps make a difference. And just in small pieces, but they start to add up.
I think one of the things with NIL that gets people confused is it's a process. I wouldn't say it's shrouded, but you just don't know a lot about it. You know, you don't know the numbers that are getting thrown out. You don't really know how it works. So as best as you can, and I'm not asking you to give away any proprietary information, talk us through the process of a coach coming to you and saying, okay, we have a player we're interested in. Go from there.
Yeah, so one of the things I've been lucky to do is to have a relationship with Mississippi State Athletics other than through my collective, right, because of the broadcast work, podcast work. Just similar to you guys, you're around. You guys know who Mississippi State's interested in. You know just instinctively kind of where those people fall.
And I read that On3 website. You know, On3.
I've heard of it.
It's a great site.
I've read.
Yeah.
I read mostly the articles.
Yeah, Charlie loves that message board.
Paul is a great, great writer, no question.
No, and you talk about a guy, and it goes back to, you know, who do you talk to? You know, Paul Jones is a guy who understands basketball, and, you know, he's a guy that you can talk to. Not minimizing his knowledge of others.
Right.
I mean, he's got a real passion for that.
Yeah.
And so what happens is when players are interested in coming, what you try to do is you have to operate on the budget. Two, you have to have some evaluation of what their skill level is and ability to contribute and to have recognition within the community and things like that. And the one thing I could tell you is there is not a map. There's not a formula. Everything is its own individual discussion. And that was one of the challenges getting into this. There's no how-to book. You learn a lot of lessons, I said, as a kid when you fall on the sidewalk and skin your knee. And we've been out there for 2.5 years falling on the sidewalk and skinning our knees, but trying to learn from it.
It appears that you talk about the, you don't really know what's going to happen, but it appears that you're probably going to have a little help in the future with collectives and universities working hand in hand, and there's going to be maybe some revenue sharing or something of that nature. What do you kind of see? What's the forecast for a collective guy where this thing is headed in the near future, however long that's going to be?
Yeah, what's interesting is you hear administrators a lot of times tell you that within a year, that in the fall of 25, you'll see revenue sharing and that the collective model will go away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, they kind of hedge on that every time they talk. It's around fall of 25.
It goes back a month.
Sometime later in 25. Yeah. And you keep in mind, a lot of what sets the basis for this is the settlement of the class action in the House case. You know, keep in mind, that settlement still has to be approved by a federal judge, and I'm a lawyer, so I can make fun of them. But in the legal world, 30 days is very, very fast. And so one of the challenges is, things don't always move on the timetable that people want them to. But if it holds up, I think there was this idea originally that collectives would go away. I don't think that will be the case. I do think, though, you'll see a transformation where maybe instead of working with 200 people, collectives are working more with like 20 and in smaller groups of people. So there is change coming, that's for certain. But anybody who tells you they know what it's going to be and how it's going to work out is making it up.
I had somebody tell me that, you know, they said, well, I bet Charlie doesn't want the university to take over the collective because, you know, I think he likes being involved. And I said, from what I know of Charlie, the day the university takes over the collective, he'll be on a plane to Tahiti the next morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only question isn't if, but for how long.
Yeah. Right? Like, we might not see him for a couple months at that point.
No. And I think part of that goes to motivation. What you've seen at some schools is their collectives have been founded and run by people who are attempting to profit from it, who enjoy, candidly, the ability to be in the middle of things. For me, that's not about it. The reason I'm doing this is because I love Mississippi State University. I care about Mississippi State. And I just got frustrated. I wasn't willing to sit back and watch nothing happen. And so for me, look, I have 0.0 ownership in this. All I am is a trustee for the people who are giving to the Bulldog Initiative. And my task every day is to make the best decisions I possibly can. And I tell people, it's kind of like a stockbroker, right? You may not win every trade, but you need the portfolio to be really good. And if you look at our portfolio, you look at what's coming in for Chris Jans, who you talked with earlier, we'll feel pretty good about the portfolio.
One thing that you mentioned, message boards, kind of a constant theme on message boards is that, well, Mississippi State doesn't have any NIL. They're too poor. But then you also see, well, Mississippi State overpaid for all these players that we didn't want anyway.
Funny how that works.
I'm going to assume the truth is somewhere in the middle. You finished up you had a March fundraising drive. You had one last fall, last November. I know you were able to exceed your original goals for that. When's the next drive coming up for you guys?
Really quickly, one of the things that we're evaluating right now is what are we going to see changing in the short term in terms of models and the avenues for people to be able to give. But look, even though we don't have anything officially, we are out on the road every single day. I was in Jackson yesterday. I was in the Delta the day before. And so we're moving around. We're staying active. We have people on the road today in Tupelo. We have somebody on the coast. So it never really ends. But I want to go back to what you were asking, Brian, about the amounts and, you know, we don't have enough. I find it hard to believe that perception can take hold in a world where you see what this transfer class was in basketball, where you see what Mississippi State was able to do on the offensive side of the ball in football. Now you can say the defense, does anybody really believe that you just took all the resources and allocated to one place? Look, it's still recruiting. And at the end of the day, it's not like going on Amazon and you just do a sort and find and you say, I need a defensive tackle, 5 stars. What's that cost? It doesn't work that way at all. And so it's still about relationships. It's still about recruiting. Now, in the transfer portal, when I say it's about relationships, it's a lot more speed dating than the old way of high school recruiting. But it works fast. It works quick. And I will say this. Mississippi State fans have been very responsive. And, you know, I don't always feel the need to brag about how we're doing, but we're holding our own.
All right. I see where you're going. So, and good news for you. You and I talked the other day. I have arranged for some free advertising for the Bulldog Initiative. I've got a prominent placement for him on a major statewide radio network for 3 hours on July 11th. We're going to have a living billboard for the Bulldog Initiative, and his name will be Richard Cross. We're going to get him decked out head to toe, Bulldog Initiative gear.
Get him the Mossy Oak Bottomland Bulldog Initiative shirt.
Yes.
Camouflage on, yeah. on Richard Cross.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a
thought about maybe that maybe the camouflage trucker hat.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
there we go. And of course, I thought he did a fantastic job pumping you up at the SEC tournament. You could tell his heart was really into it.
Hey, well, you talk about fortunate timing to work out, to play Ole Miss, to have a walk-off.
I texted Charlie that night after the game. I was like, this is the best money you ever spent. He was like, you're not wrong.
No, so I got to tell you the story.
Miserable for 8.5 innings.
Oh, 8 2/3.
So I was talking to Bill Thurlow about you know, supporting the package, and he says, hey, will you Bulldog Initiative do this? I said, yes.
Yep.
But I have one requirement.
Yep.
I want Richard Cross to have to do the live reads.
We got it to happen. Charlie Winfield, the Bulldog Nation. Thank you so much for coming by and speaking with us.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
All right, y'all. Before we finish up at Obie's, let's move into the final segment of the show, and that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It is grilling season. The sun is out. It's hot outside. That means you're firing up the grill. Nothing's going to beat the sizzle of beef. If you are a grillsman, you need to be grilling steaks this weekend. That's all I'm going to tell you. Nobody's going to be upset at you when they find out that steaks were on the menu. If you're looking for recipes, they've got them at msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. It is delicious. I need to go. I didn't go this week. So next week will definitely see me at Two Brothers to enjoy some of my favorites. The pork rind nachos. The chicken chipotle taco is my favorite taco. I love the pulled pork grilled cheese. I love the prime rib sandwich. They've got dessert on the menu, and I haven't ever gone that way. But maybe I need to, because they got a blueberry cheesecake, and that's kind of a weakness of mine. So I think I'll do it. And, of course, the next time I'm craving a fancy sandwich, I'm definitely going to head over to the Older Brother and the old Two Brothers location on Rue de Grand Fromage and enjoy a fine sandwich in a bistro atmosphere. The best French fries, not just in Starkville, man. These are some of the best fries I've ever had. And I think I made this point. I don't actually really like French fries, but, man, I like the French fries at the Older Brother. They are fantastic. For smoked Southern soul food, it's Two Brothers Smoked Meats. For fancy sandwiches, it's the Older Brother, both in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if you need service, you call them the same number. You're talking to the same people. They're going to take care of you. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not a call center across the ocean that's going to put you on hold for 45 minutes. It's your friends that you've been dealing with, that you've been doing business with, that you know at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you head to the game this fall, you need to head to Maroon & Co. You need to get some new gear. If you're in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, the place to get it is at Maroon & Co. They've got stuff you can't get anywhere else. They've got the logos that you want. They've got the Bulldog Initiative gear that you can't find anywhere else that Richard Cross is going to be modeling for us in just a few weeks. So, if you want to look like the coaches, or if you want to look like Richard Cross, I guess, you can do that with a trip to Maroon & Co. Before you go to Davis Wade this fall, make sure you go to the Maroon & Co. Let's wrap things up on a great day at Obie's in Starkville on the Thunder and Lightning Catfish Tour, presented by Superior Catfish.
Let's wrap it up with Air Spencer, the owner of Obie's, a restaurant that I frequent probably far too often. He would tell me I'm not here enough, but it's enough that when I said I'd like some catfish, he looked at me and went, double cheese toast, because he knew my order. Yeah. This is what I want to say about Obie's, is that when I have friends who don't live in Starkville, yeah, and they come up for football games, or they come up for whatever, mm-hmm, oh, where'd you go eat? Obie's. I mean, it is just, this is the restaurant that I think has more cachet with people who don't live in Starkville anymore than any other. They want to come back to Obie's.
Yes, I think so. The for me, when I was in school here a few years ago, not
too long, yeah.
But that was my, go-to. We'd go to Obie's, get a roast beef po' boy. When we were old enough, we'd get the old fishbowl draft beer and
I didn't get one of those today. I should have gotten one of those to go with everything else.
And then when I graduated, I got in the restaurant business, and I was in a different state, and I was talking with Don O'Bannon, the original founder, right, of Obie's, about coming back and putting something together to kind of grow Obies. And I came and worked for him for a few years here in Starkville before we opened the Oxford location in 2005.
Tell us about your relationship with Superior Catfish.
The Superior, we've, of course, being a Mississippi restaurant, we want to use a Mississippi product, absolutely. And be honest with you, we really locked in with Superior shortly after COVID, because y'all remember the supply issues. Mm-hmm. You have trouble finding product and everything like that, and it was really hard for catfishes and products. It was really hard to find the consistent size and quality. And they came and talked to us and said, we can meet your demand. We can, and we've been with them ever since. And I have not, since I've been with them, I cannot say I've had any flavor issues, any customer complaints or anything like that. It's been a good partnership to have with it.
Yeah, we know flavor issue.
I have flavor. It's too good.
Yeah. It makes me want to eat it all the time.
We know how good the quality is, Superior, but the fish itself that y'all make is a different kind of swing than we get somewhere
else.
It's
good.
Can you tell me a little bit? I mean, you don't have to reveal
the
secret.
Put the recipe on a piece of paper.
Can you tell me what y'all do? Because it's a different kind of breading, it seems, and it's a little more crispy.
It's our signature breading. It's one that Don formulated years ago, and we've now got a company that makes it specifically for us. Has the same OB seasoning that we put on our fries and everything like that. So that's I think the cut is significant too. I like the way it cooks up crispy.
Yep.
Yes. And that's one of the things we worked out with Superior as well, where they actually do the cut for us. So we used to cut it by hand, so that's saving me some time and my employees some time, and probably allowing the customers to get a little bit quicker as well when we don't have to cut it by hand. So
when you mentioned that they do that for you specifically, I mean, that's something that I've gathered from this group being around them. They're very customer friendly. They'll go above and beyond. You know, we talked to Brent before about how they used to pack trucks, and I think they still do. We'll deliver them themselves if they have to.
Mm-hmm.
What's that relationship been like with some of them? It seems like everybody we talk to talks about the relationship, even beyond it, how good the fish is, the relationship that you get with those people.
Absolutely. They're in the restaurant. I've got their phone numbers. So if I've got an issue, I can text or call them directly. You know, and that's, I can't say that there's many other companies that I work with that I have that. You know, my chicken tender supplier, I don't have their number. I have to go through somebody else. So that's definitely something that's kind of new for us. I mean, we're two restaurants and everything like that, and to have somebody that values your business that much is definitely important to us as well.
Every college town has a restaurant that's been there forever. Yeah. Nothing's ever changed. The food is as good today as it was when you were in school there. Yeah. Obies is that restaurant for Starkville. That's a legacy. How do you feel about that?
That's one thing that when we took it over, when Don decided to retire, and still have a great relationship with Don. I talk to him probably weekly. But one thing I said, you know, I don't want anybody else to get this location, because it's what Obies is we cannot let it change. We cannot let it go to a mass produced, you know, it's just too much of a staple for, you know, since 1976 has been here. You know, I mean, they said, after I graduated, I was living in Jackson for a short time. If I came back to start before a game, I was coming to Otis. You know, I was coming within our friends. The line might be out in the parking lot. We have to get here earlier. We're going to miss the game.
So. Yeah. And this is a very unique place, and the food that it serves, there's just not a lot of places like this around here. But also the atmosphere is great. Then you talk about the service. You're kind of in and out. There's plenty of tables for everybody. It's quick. It's efficient. Food's always on point. How have y'all been able to manage to lock down, you know, check every box? Because every restaurant has its faults, and I'm sure y'all might have a fault here and there, but when you look at it, I mean, you guys pretty much check every box.
Well, it's never perfect. You know, it's we try. You know, our goal is basically to know, because we're not on Highway 12. We're not downtown, so our goal is if somebody comes here for lunch and they got an hour for lunch and they're coming from across town, we want them to feel comfortable that they can wait in line, place their order, get their food, and still have plenty of time to get back to their job. But we're not going to compromise quality to do that. We're, you know, we're going to do everything we can to serve the same quality product we always do.
Robbie hit on something right there. I can't tell you, I mean, as I've pulled in here, and the parking lot will be absolutely slam-packed. I'm just like, I don't know. How I walk in, there's always a table. Yeah. There's always a table available to you at Obie's. One last thing I'll tell you. You have an item on your menu, not catfish, that I actually had to call a priest about one time. I just wanted to know if alligator counted as seafood, because when we get to Lent, this is one of my go-to restaurants, and I want to have an alligator po' boys. He told me if it's in the water, you're good. So, Catholics, if you're listening, come have an alligator po' boy and have some superior catfish.
So I guess swamp counts as seafood.
The swamp counts as seafood. So, Ayers, appreciate you letting us come in here today and
thank
set
you.
Up.
Pleasure.
We've enjoyed it. Great food. And I don't need to tell people to come to Obie's, but come to Obie's.
Okay.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.